All right, we're on the record. We've had a prayer and the roll call of the board members. We'll go ahead and have everybody stand as we go around and introduce yourself and indicate what lot you're affiliated with or associated with so that we can have a good list on our meeting as to who attended. Let's start with you, Candy, on that side.
Candy Close 8, Lot 107.
Mike and Sue McNichols, Lot 670.
Nice. Back there. Beautiful. Welcome. All right, back up here on the front row.
Mike Duvall, Lot 146. Kathy raising her hand back there, quilting. Good to be here.
Perfect.
Brent Fulmer, Lot 117.
Welcome, Brent. We never see you. Right here.
Cindy and Roger Olson, we're Lot 17.
Nice.
Bob Becker, Lot 4.
Welcome. Let's go on this table over here. Uncle Nelson.
Nelson Allen and Faye, 161. Up next, John, Famous Sunshine.
Awesome. You guys back there, I don't know you.
We forgot. Cameron Pat Barson, put out Lot 164.
Okay, sounds good. Back here. Awesome, welcome. You, sir?
Yes, Rick is staying Lot 182.
Welcome. You're staying in the cabin right now, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The best cabin, number one.
Awesome. Right here. Welcome. Awesome.
Back there is Lot 144 and Lot 23, or 24.
Good to have you.
Scott Kohler, Lot 15.
Awesome. Back here. Awesome. And Sunshine, everybody knows Sunshine. Phil and Rachel back there at the table. Wave to everybody. All right. Oh, well, sorry, I missed you.
We're the ranch caretakers, in case that's
Melissa Bean, and I think we're about 130, 140.
If you're not, then we could probably make them available for you for a good price. You guys just joining us? You want to identify yourselves and which lot you're with?
Yeah, Edquist, 183.
Awesome, welcome. Did I miss somebody else?
No.
Yep. We got it.
Renee. My hat and glasses, you locked me out of the truck.
Awesome. Well, welcome, everybody. We'll turn the time over to Kathy Pierce to talk about then get an approval of the last meeting minutes.
I can get the updated. There was a question on... Brad, did Mariah talk to you about that on your minutes? There were some questions on that. I'm not reading this anymore.
She did. I didn't get the email.
So okay.
I'll just approve them.
Well, did you want to go over them or?
Nope. I reviewed them. They were emailed out to the board.
I reviewed them, and I would propose that we pass them.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Awesome. Next thing, we turn the time over to the infamous Joe Bose for a treasurer's report.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have very much. I did this before I left. I've been here up here for 8-10 days now. The checking account got $1,352 in it for the caretakers, and the main checking is $110,350, and then our savings we got $34,842. And then the separate savings, we got $2,753. Unfortunately, I didn't get any other information from Mariah because our internet's down. That's about all I can tell you for that.
Yeah, we apologize for the ranch internet being down and the phone being out.
It's my fault that it's down, so don't blame me.
When are we going to get that fixed?
We're working on it.
Money talk.
We're going to take up a collection. It's only $50,000-$60,000 to hook into the fiber for one connection. So if you want to donate on your way out, then We'll take anything you got.
C-R-E-N-T-F-U-L-O-N.
That's good. Any questions from any membership as far as where we're at financially, and we'll try to answer them, although we don't have... Without Mariah here that keeps the books and records, it's a little difficult for some of us dummies who don't do math very well to answer questions, but I'm happy to try. Any questions on where we're at budget-wise for the year, or any items that you think are should be a priority as far as budget items the next time we come around to studying a budget?
I think we got $133,000 collected out of $140,000 for the budget. We're at 95%. So that's where we're at as far as the total.
Yep. The assessments, we've been very good. There are very few delinquencies. Everybody's been very good at paying and paying on time so that we don't have to spend time and money chasing. So we appreciate that from the membership. We've, just so you know, it's been a long time since we've had to raise the dues, and we've been able to make things work. It's always tight. We always could use more money to take care of some additional things, but we've been able to make it work and are comfortable with keeping up with things, including some of the upgrades that we've been working on. We can always do better, but that's where we're at.
So this is 2 weeks old, so it's close enough.
Yep. All right. Next item on the agenda, the caretaker report. You guys want to come up here in front, and so the recording can pick you up, and we can either grab a chair for you, or you can stand, whatever you'd like.
You guys got other things to do than to stand up here and have a long meeting. We're just doing the best we can with what we got. John Gerbaugh, who gives us instruction to do it, we do it. We're just working on general maintenance. We're working on roads. We're working on culverts. We're working on hauling rock. We're working on helping Kathy with her Cabin 7 project. We're working on watering cows and hauling water and trying to keep the livestock alive. And working on the ranch house when we have time, and trying to do the lawns and whatever we got to do. So that's it.
How's that lawnmower working out for you?
It needs some help. We're hoping for Joe's little assistance today. It's only has one gear.
Got more than one gear, supposedly.
Yeah, but right now
it's
just got a go gear.
Got a go
gear,
and that's it.
If it goes out, use it in reverse. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if it's not working the way you want it to, then I can take it back.
No, that's the other one.
Oh, no, it's the riding lawnmower.
The Honda lawnmower works great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we need to decide at some point in time whether the ranch wants to buy it or not. So, okay.
Yep, that's it. You got any questions?
Well, just to comment, there's one other thing that they do that they didn't mention. That's just welcoming everybody, the members who come here, in a very great way.
How do you guys feel about how they're doing welcoming you guys as members? How many of you have participated in any of the cookouts so far this year? How was it?
Had one last night.
Was it good?
It was awesome.
Good. Good. Well, we encourage you to participate and appreciate the job these guys are doing and making those things happen.
How often are the cookouts, so we know?
Well, you can register. Well, the ones for the cabins are Saturdays, but then that we can also do one. We did one last night with family and friends or whatever, but the ones for the cabins we register by Wednesday, so we have enough, because we go down and do water tests or shopping, whatever we need on Wednesday, so we can have enough food for Saturday. So we just pay for through that to Mariah, or we can do potlucks too, where if you're not in a cabin, this used to happen and hasn't happened currently, but if you want to do just member potlucks where it doesn't charge you anything except for just bring down what you got and just let us know that week and we can make it happen.
The idea is to mix and mingle a little bit, make sure that this is a good experience for everybody and that you enjoy your time here. Whether that's going and hiding up in the Quaking Aspen somewhere and being by yourself or having a card game or a potluck or whatever you want to do. So.
Also, the fire pit down here and up at cabin between 6, 7, and 8 are the only two fire pits you're allowed to use on the ranch. Fire restrictions are high right now. You get a fire, we burn the ranch down. We did supply, Joe and John supplied three real nice, I don't know, they're like a little table that you pull the top and there's little coals of the flame on cabin 1, 2, and 4. And these guys...
Yeah, we were very nicely surprised. We came home one day from our
trip to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, and we're sitting on the deck. We used it that night. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, they're real nice.
Very, very nice.
You agree.
In cabin four, it was really nice. You know, we know all the fire restrictions. You know, and of course, I brought, you know, hot dogs and marshmallows. Oh, you can't make a fire. But with that, you know, with that little, what do you call it?
Just a propane fire pit.
Oh, it was awesome. And now we're cabin number one, and there's one there too, so we'll use that tonight.
We're trying to allow for some s'more making and roasting and marshmallows and that kind of stuff without violating the fire restrictions. So we're working on it. We're trying to make it work. What we don't want, and you can pass this along to any of the other members, you know, we don't want people creating fire pits or having fires of any kind during these restricted times, because not only will there be a hefty fine, it obviously puts everybody in their lots in danger. So there's lightning does enough. Joe, you got something?
Well, my idea, unfortunately, to put the fire pits there, maybe people don't like them. But we haven't worked out all the hard work on it, how we're going to supply the propane. Right now, there's propane in each one. But after we get going, we need to find a system for charging for the propane, rather, because we don't want you pulling the propane bottle off the barbecue, put it on the fire pit, and the next person goes in doesn't have any propane to cook with. So we got to come up with a system and find a way to charge. And
sure.
I'm thinking what we could do is take the rubber hose off of it that goes to the 5-gallon can, take it down to Lumber Plus, and see if we can find that hose that'll fit one of them little green bottles.
That's a good idea.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
We can just supply so many of those, and what you don't use, you can bring back. Now, how long they'll last, we don't know. If they don't last long enough, we'll have to go back to the big bottles.
So
see if you can find an adapter.
Sure.
We'll do that.
Last thing on the fire. Did you have...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you're the boss.
Well, I just wanted to say my wife and I bought one first and tested it before we made the purchase for the ranch. And we've been running it for quite a bit now. A couple hours, and probably 10 times now. And we have not run out of propane out of one of those small bottles yet. So they are pretty efficient.
No, the 5-pound, the 5-gallon bottle.
Yeah, 5-gallon. Well, that's a small bottle to me. I got some. But anyway, what I'm saying is that they're pretty efficient. You can turn them up really high, but I don't see the need in it. You just waste some propane. Turn it fast, quick, and it does well.
Just wanted to stay on the fire. Last year, we spotted 12 Indian boots on the ground. As we were ground on the ranch, we spotted 12 fires. Kelly Country came in, they put them out. They were very efficient. While Kelly Country was putting out a fire, just below Mike Ball's place, they spotted another fire. So we kept the chain. And since the fire crew in there, their cabin would be gone. This year, we spotted a significant fire. Rachel called it in first, I called it in second, but it got spotted twice. And it was a significant fire right over here.
Yeah.
And then we got rain that night, so that helped a lot. So, Doc's looking after us.
In reference to fires, does everybody know on Student Pod up here, there's the fiber optics telephone? Everybody aware of that?
It's right up here.
Right at the end of the airport runway, before you turn on the Meadow Canyon Road, there's a blue light on top of it. Okay, if you see a fire and you don't have phone service, or you don't have a radio, you can drive down to that blue light, pick it up, push the button, and it goes straight. That's an emergency call for an ambulance, fire, or whatever. So you can use that phone to call the fire in. You don't need to contact us if you're in the area.
John,
I have one more thing on the fire. I know everything is very green here, and it doesn't look like it would burn, but it's very oily. We've had 3 fires in the Kanab this year so far, and if you're driving into Kanab, you see all those acres that are burned. Those were green, and you want to know how it was started? It was a guy that had a flat on his tire, and the rim created a spark. A rim on a car created a spark and created that fire, and yet everything was green. That's how volatile it is.
Okay, let's use some caution. Anything before we excuse the caretakers? Any suggestions or comments or questions you have for them as members?
Last night we had some kids come to our cabin at like about 9 o'clock at night that came over the mountain. And they said up on the top, there's a lot of campers up there and they all have fires. So that's for us. Is there any way we can... Does anybody patrol that or control that?
U.S. Forest Service. I mean, if you see them, then you can call them in and say that that's happening. That should be just as restricted as everywhere else.
Because they said they saw a lot of campfires on the way down.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Anything? Go ahead.
I'll just have a comment on the value of the caretakers. Can everybody hear me? Do I need to stand up there?
It would be better if you did. That way we make sure and get you on the recording.
Oh, okay. I bought my lot in 2006, so that was it's been 13 years. And when I first bought it, yeah, I was sold on the lot. I was sold on this property. Ollie Lindgren was the caretaker at that time. A little bit personable. Some of you remember him. He was okay, but he didn't really create an experience here. Later, I came here with my family, and Paul and Nancy Brayton were here. And they're the ones that took my grandchildren and said, hey, let's go milk the goats and let's go pet all the animals. And they created an experience, and I realized that about 75% of my experience here was the lot, 25% was the caretakers, making an experience here, the bonfire and everything else. Recently, my wife passed away just 4 weeks ago. We were here last year, became good friends with the Hunts. And I realized that about 50% of the experience was a lot, and the other 50% of the experience was how they took care of us, how friendly they were, and everything else. And of course, my wife was here. This time, I brought my family, of course, without my wife. See if I can get through this.
Yeah.
24 weeks ago, guys. 42 years. But she loved this place. That's the reason why we bought it. So we came here, and the Hunts had a nice note in cabin number 4 when we got here. And then on their day off, I don't know what you guys do on your day off, but they said, hey, let's go over to the Bull Valley, and then let's go over to Bryce Canyon, and let's go up on the Pink Cliffs. And they took their ATV and my ATV, and so and then last night I brought a big Argentine family. My wife is from Argentina. So last night we had a big, the big fire, had a big barbecue with asada for those who speak Spanish. And I realized that about 75% of my experience is now because of the Hunt. 25% is because of the property. I love the property, but they're making it like a home. And so, with Paul and Nancy Braden, it was about 50%. So I, as a board, I just want to tell you that the caretaker job is more than just the maintenance, and everything else we're doing in the cabin. They create an experience here, and I just want to give kudos to them for doing it, or any other ones down the road, the years to come, when you hire caretakers, make sure that they're personable and they're friendly and they make the experience worthwhile.
Thank you. Yes, we're okay. You guys go relax. You're off the hot seat for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say on the fire stuff, if you own a cabin or you have a property and you do enough of the right precautions, you have water, hoses, grass, gravel around a fire pit. You can do what I've done. You can have Kane County Fire Marshal will come out here. They'll come out and inspect your fire pit. And I have a standing permit to have a campfire there anytime, even when there's no fire prescription. So you can achieve that, but you have to really be well prepared and meet their requirements. So,
any questions so far? Good. All right. Next, we've got a discussion that's mainly a board discussion as far as caretaker cabin use perk. I've been involved a little bit in this discussion, and it's to clarify. I don't know, Brad, do you want to, this is one of the questions that you had along the way. Do you want to lead the discussion, or
sure.
Do you want me to?
I don't care.
I'll talk plenty, so if you don't mind, go ahead.
The question came up is whether or not we should allow the caretakers to use weeks in the cabins, and what has been done historically, and what we want to do going forward. And
Historically, since I've been involved, the caretakers, when there's availability in the cabin, if no one was using this cabin this week, nobody's coming in this cabin, and they had somebody show up and they wanted to put them up in the cabins overnight or whatever, historically they've been able to just use the cabins for their own friends and family. And that's been kind of a perk that we allow the caretakers to do. Of course, they're the ones that have to do all the work, turning the cabin or whatever, you know, behind their anybody that they come in or have come in. With Alan and Fida, they had a large family from Idaho, and we actually discussed this in a board meeting while they were employed by us. And they had lots of kids, and so we actually allowed them to schedule 2 weeks that they could block out for their family to bring their family to. And then they didn't just have to depend on availability only, whether or not their family should come down and visit them. And, of course, our motivation behind that is that we wanted to have longevity in our caretakers, and so we wanted to do things that would give them whatever perks that we can, if it's not going to be money, do things that would keep our caretakers here longer periods of time instead of have to keep training and turning over caretakers. And so that was the thought behind it, and that's the history behind it. And so I guess it's on the agenda now to decide what we want to do going forward.
Yeah, so I think the discussion, as far as I'm concerned, is we want to have consistency. And we haven't had consistency because it was discussed previously in an executive session, which we don't share those, what happens in those necessarily always with the public. So do you guys as members, or do any of the board members, have any thoughts or feelings on that discussion?
I can see what you're saying. If there's availability, there's no one there, it's a nice perk, you know, for the caretakers. That's what it came up in the first place, right?
Yeah.
If you follow that, wouldn't that work?
Well, I think the problem with that is how it happened in the past was, if there wasn't something reserved a few days before, it doesn't allow for planning, I guess, is the bottom line. The question is as caretakers, the last caretakers, we allowed them time to have family come down and stay. They were not members. Phil and Rachel, as part of their employment, are working toward a lot and currently receive the benefits of being a member. The question is, do we allow a fixed week or a fixed 2 weeks for them each year as an additional perk to employment? And does that affect, or do we restrict it to, you know, the lower shoulder seasons? Obviously, Memorial Day, 4th of July are super busy. Do you guys have any feelings? Have you ever had difficulty in getting reservations in cabins, or just the cabin you want? It's kind of open to that. Sunshine.
I agree it's a great perk, but I like the idea of the schedule time maybe being on the shoulders or not the holiday time. I think that's the only caveat that I would add.
Any other comments? Go ahead, Sunshine.
Well, we would have wanted on holiday weekends anyway, because they're so busy with people coming in and trying to make sure everybody has everything they need, so they probably wouldn't want to schedule a holiday.
Yeah, I think it'd be easy to block out Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, 24th of July weekend, and Labor Day weekend. Other than that, you know, as available. You got something over here?
I'd like to see the cabins used a lot more than they are. I think with scheduling, you should easily on the computer be able to schedule these things exactly. And I think we want to see the cabins used. And families enjoy.
Yep. I second that. Any other comments before the board? Oh, Uncle Nelson.
I agree with
you. Okay. All right. Well, fortunately, this is the board, so I'll call for a motion. If somebody wants to string together some words that we can vote on, yes or no.
As long as the scheduling is put in, it should be able to be done.
I make a motion that we allow the caretakers to use the cabins indiscretionally as available as we always have, and that we will also give them 2 weeks to be able to schedule time in, but it cannot be on a high-use week.
Second? Anybody? Second. Going second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. So when you say high-use week, are you okay with the weeks that I specified, Memorial Labor 4th and 24th?
Or any other week that becomes... I think as moving forward with the changes in the scheduling, there's going to be actually a potential for more sellout weeks. We ought to take a hard look at any sellout week that there isn't available any at the ranch and then manage those weeks.
Well, I think we can modify this rule as we move forward, as weeks fill up and become more popular. If Kathy fixes up all the cabins like she has 7, then we might not be able to get people out of here. So,
yeah,
awesome. All right. Next on the agenda, Dale Clarkson wants to talk and has a presentation on water. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that at the end?
I'd say it'd be better at the end.
Okay. If you're all right, then we'll skip you for right now. All right. Number 7 on the agenda, discussion of the proposed amendment to the CCNRs. I've been working on this for a couple years now. The proposed changes to the CCNRs were made before the last annual meeting. We didn't quite, because the threshold is so high, we didn't get the vote necessary to pass them for the last meeting. And principally, Brent Fulmer and others pointed out some provisions there that caused people second thought or grief, which weren't all that critical, so we've removed those. We've reposted the new version of the proposed protective covenants on the website and also sent them out by email. Are there any questions or any discussion that in our last, just by the way, in our last board meeting, then we voted that we wanted to send those out to the members to accept input, but depending on how much input there is, then we would propose those again prior to the next annual meeting for a vote, crossing our fingers that we can get the 75% vote. And so, any questions or comments from any members? Yes?
I have a question about access. And the only reason why I bring it up is because Dale last year, thank you very much, had me go take a look at lot 145. He's built a new road and he's got a nice view. So when I arrived here on Monday, I wanted to go take a look at that lot and just take a look at it again. But there was a chain put across it. And I wasn't able to go in, but it wasn't on the lot, it was on the lot previous. And I thought the CCNR had a provision that you couldn't block off a lot like that.
You can't block a DSROA dedicated roadway. And access again exists on the around each perimeter of each lot, and we'll address that. And we're aware of that. I don't know what the solution is, but we'll figure that out. That'll be discussed and resolved.
During this meeting?
No.
During this meeting?
As far as the discussion of that particular roadway?
Yes.
No, I'm not prepared to discuss that quite yet because I haven't gone and looked at it. I'm not sure if it is a dedicated, an existing, original DSROA road that's on the map or not. So there's more research that has to be done before we can resolve that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we came with a lot.
Yes.
Just so he knows that there's a way to get around it. The owner of 140.
I'll tell you right now, that is my lot.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I blocked that off because I just bought that lot. I've got my trailer, my four-wheeler, and all kinds of stuff on it. We got the hunt coming up. We got people that are going to come up and start scouting. I don't want anybody thinking that they can just take access on that road and start driving up and down.
It only goes to one of the lots.
The only lot that road accesses is lot 145, and it is not a proposed road. It was put in just to get up to the back south. It goes through the middle.
That's why you need to discuss I personally
need to look into it before I can have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah,
there is. It does not block off the access yet. There's a road that goes around the street for those that know of it.
Okay.
So there is access.
I don't know that one yet. So.
Kathy
and I have the next lot.
No, I was just trying to go see Dale's lot.
Kathy and I have the next lot right next to theirs. We love going up on top every now and then. The view is tremendous.
just drive right in front of the water tank, and it's behind the chain. You have to pull that stuff. And I believe that's
what we're going to work around.
It will be addressed. I just don't know the answer today because I don't have all the facts. So.
I don't want people going and messing with my stuff. I've already had somebody go shove a bunch of rock and dirt and sticks in my trailer.
Because
it was locked. And so
it needs to be resolved.
Yes, it needs to be resolved, and we'll. Okay. Anything else on the proposed CCNRs? Any changes? Any concerns? Anybody not like them? It's probably too long for a lot of people. It's a difficult read. I admit that it's pretty boring stuff. Welcome to my life every day. But those are the kind of rules that help resolve or give us a basis for resolving some of these conflicts, both between neighbors and between the association and particular owners. So I think it's important that we continue to try to improve. There's an article in the newsletter that is coming out that I wrote about getting those updated to today's laws. They were written back in the 70s, and they're lacking. Let's just put it that way. If there aren't any other discussion, I don't think there's any need to vote. Any comments from the board?
Vote on what?
There's nothing really to vote on. We were just opening that for discussion if anybody had input on the changes.
Yeah.
All right.
Historically, I've been vocal about the protection of individual lot owners and that still concerns me in the season, whatever they are, protected covenants. I think that we should be able to protect the ranch and our individual lot owner rights, and that's, I think they're a little loose right there, and I would like to see them tightened up a little bit. So, but other than that, I don't have anything else.
Anything else? All right, let's turn some time over to, looks like Joe's on for Cabin 3 status and plan.
One.
That might be better for Larry. You've been up there.
Plan and status are both in trouble. Problem is, Brent went up there with his camera and drilled holes in the floor, and we thought that the mud was going underneath there and picking the floor up. It turns out that's not true. It appears as though the floor is just warping from being old and the wrong material being used, evidently. But we need to find somebody, a carpenter, to go in and actually physically tear the entire floor out of Cabin 3 and put a whole new one down with better material and better screws. And then we need to put a concrete wall board around it because there's so many critters getting inside of it. We can't make it safe to be livable with the animals that are getting in there. Trouble is, getting somebody up here to do that work is kind of hard. We haven't been able to find anybody. Larry Sims built the deck on cabin two. Built the cabin deck in cabin two. I asked him, now he's retired, I asked him if he would be willing to go in and do that. And he said, not this year. Well, I'd like to get started on it this year anyway. But he said he knew a couple of carpenters in Vegas that were out of work, and he's gone home, and he said he'll give me names when I get there, see if we can find somebody that'll come up and tear the floor out. Brent.
Joe, the Collinses are going to be here today. They've just recently changed their entire life. They're in the house renovating business, and they're going to be here at the Four Springs Ranch full time. My suggestion to you guys is that you talk to them first, because they're going to be here, living on Lot 121, and they are, and that's what they do. They renovate houses. So, if you want, I can put them in touch with you, and we can find out what they would charge.
Okay.
To do something like that.
Let's do that. Let's get at least a bid from them. Let them in, have them look through. We're going to have to do some things inside the cabin. We're also going to need to do some things outside the cabin as far as the slope and that kind of stuff. Have you looked at it?
Yeah.
Can you dig it out on the one side before you go to Alaska?
No.
No.
Well, what do you do? Sleep mostly. it's like trying to repair sheetrock on a bad ceiling when you have a leaky roof. You're an idiot to go hang new sheetrock until you fix the roof. So there's no point in replacing the floor that's being damaged from moisture from the ground if we haven't addressed the problem outside that's creating that moisture. So it's going to be a combination of terracing and regrading, the outside in conjunction with the inside. But I think that's a great idea to get Collins to at least evaluate it, give an idea time-wise, money-wise, what's it going to take to do the interior repair. The exterior is not a big deal. I just don't have time until September to even think about it. Maybe even have Brad look at it and see if he, I don't know if he's got time in the next month or it's just going to be a matter of...
Because we need to dig a trench all the way around it, and we're thinking of putting like, you know, a half inch or even three quarter inch wallboard down about 2 feet and then backfill it so that, and then put gutters on the roof and a trench for the water to go around so the mud stops going under and the moisture stops going under. We got to prevent the water from getting under the cabin and causing the problem to start all over again, plus keep the critters out.
Do you think you might have time to go up and at least have a look at it?
Yeah.
Because the main thing is on the west side, taking back that slope and allowing for a place for the water to come down and then run out in the trench rather than go under the cabin.
I looked at it, and the correct solution is to actually create three terrace benches where the propane tank sits now, carry it out and around, and then about a 4 foot drop to another terrace out around, and then at the cabin. There shouldn't be any dirt against the cabin. There should be a 4, 5, 6 foot wide slope away from the cabin all the way around, which would give us material to carry on around to the north and east, so it's not just off a cliff down through the brush.
For terracing, that's enough of an idea. We have those 2,000 pound concrete, I don't know what you call them, that we use for the cattle guard. We could put a row of those in to make the water go around, and also
terrace it. A whole lot of work.
Plus, you wouldn't have to do it again if it got really,
really expensive, and they're 2,000 pounds. They won't move very easily. So,
and just to clarify, the subfloor in the cabin is okay. John and I, we stuck the inspection camera under there, and the subfloor is fine. But they put the floor down, and then on top of that, they put.
It's just a particle board subfloor that
particle board, and the particle board, if I was wrong, I look at it again, there's a layer of like tar paper, and then they put the particle board down, and then when the particle board went down, they only attached it around the edges rather than, you know, every 6 inches all the way through. And so what it did is those humps in the floor are just that particle board swelling. And it's got like a little blister there, and so the subfloor is fine. It's that particle board and the linoleum that needs to come up, and then, you know, I'd use plywood and screw it down every 6 inches, and then whatever flooring material we decide to go on top of it. But we don't have to make a major tear the whole subfloor out and everything.
Oh, I thought we did.
No.
I don't see any mold on the dirt that camera either.
Yeah.
As much moisture as it came down.
So, but it's in surprisingly good shape. I thought for years it was just
fire.
Yeah.
Now you've been carrying a match up there for 5 years.
I'm glad I didn't.
Well, Brad, if you wouldn't mind taking a look at it, if you had get a chance, and let us know what you think. It would be great if we can move forward on something yet this summer rather than waiting till the winter. I think everybody knows that cabin's out of commission until we get things resolved, so that makes it a little tighter on the other cabins. But that's in the works and in the plan. So, anything else, Joe?
Nope. Well, that's all we got with that cabin. That's all we got on cabin 3.
Okay. Kathy? Refrigerators. What are we going to do?
Refrigerators. We've had a few problems with refrigerators. I'm over the lower and the ranch house headquarters, and Joe is over the upper cabins. So, anyway, the garden cabin has a brand new fridge. We still need to do an air combustion on that. We need to do that on all of them except for cabin 7 because we are doing that as we... are remodeling. Cabin 6 is working fine. It needs to be serviced. Needs the combustion intake on that. We are ordering a new cabin, a new fridge for cabin 7 as soon as that's delivered. We took the old one out and put it in cabin 9 because we have problems with cabin 9 during the rental time. Cabin 8 is working. We are going to switch it when the season's over with the Comfort Stop, which is a brand new one in here, And then cabin 9, we're going to move 7 to 9, we did that. So all of these are going to be needing air combustions on that. Cabin 10 is working fine. Comfort stop is the new fridge. Did you want to go over the upper cabins? You want me to do it?
I can do it.
Okay. Go for it.
Oh.
Here's my note.
So okay. With these,
go ahead. The deal was, Phil had brought to our attention that the gas fumes in the garden cabin were pretty strong in a couple of cabins. So I came up with an idea, and Brent helped me. We come up with a system for venting the refrigerators, so all the gas from the refrigerator would go outside.
Hey, Joe. A picture's worth a thousand words right over there, Bob.
Yeah, there's the vent. You can see it over there.
They needed to be put on an exterior wall.
Right where the funnel thing comes out. And then we want to put an air intake
down low,
down to the combustion chamber.
Yeah.
That's lower. So it gets direct air going right into it.
So basically what happened, we outsmarted ourselves. We put a vent on the top, except it's not venting properly. According to the refrigerator manufacturer, you need a combustion air. So we need another vent on the bottom on the floor bringing fresh air in. So now we have to have a vent with fresh air coming in.
So it's a closed system then?
Well, it's not really closed, but it just supplies air to it. If you look at your water heater at home, and John came up with this idea, we put the vent right over the top of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
If you look at your water heater at home, there's a 4-inch gap. They deliberately put it on four legs.
Yep, they do.
And I think that's their air combustion. But so now we're thinking we have to do that on the bottom and plus maybe separate and put a gap between the top. Because what's happening is they're sitting up so bad that the refrigerators are quitting.
Yeah.
Question, have we unhooked all the vents, all the refrigerators?
No, cabin 4 actually has not been had anything done to it. And it was the most efficient of any fridge yet.
Yeah. But all that efficiency comes in when you're breathing when you're sleeping. That was the problem.
Well, cabin 4 you're not. And the reason why, cabin 4 is 10. And the reason why is because when we did the vent, it's only this long.
Yeah.
And it can just go right out instead of this big long vent. And then it gets that condensation in it and drips down and puts the flame out.
So we got the right idea. We just haven't tweaked it to work sufficiently yet, so that's what we're in the process of.
The other thing is some of the cabins we had to move the location of the refrigerator so that they were backed up against an exterior wall.
We swapped them with the stove to get it closer to the wall.
We're trying to get them to run as efficiently as possible and keep these. A lot of these refrigerators are quite old, and at $15 to $2,000 a pop for new ones, we're trying to milk the last use out of them. So we appreciate everybody's patience if from time to time you have a bit of an issue. We'll go through over time and try to get them replaced. We just can't do them all at once unless you guys want to drop your donations on the way out. Yeah.
The hydrocarbons are quite bad. I built a cabin up here and I had a gas refrigerator.
Yeah.
It gave my wife such a severe headache for myself, we couldn't take it. Even with in the spring and the fall, with most of the windows and doors closed, he gets severe headaches. He can't even work.
Yeah.
So I ended up putting a solar system in. I have an electric refrigerator, and I took my gas refrigerator out. But that's too expensive to do to 10 cabins, so we're trying to find a way to vent them to the outside. Because they're efficient, and they work very well. But they do put hydrocarbons in and can give you a severe headache.
All right. We ready to move on?
Yeah. Were you going to? Okay.
Sorry. Well, that was most of it.
We still need to do the combustions on the upper
cabins. Yeah, we have to do
the
combustions on all of them,
yeah.
Upper cabins and lower.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned that. That's
okay.
The lower cabins.
Okay.
Other than that.
You want me to move on?
Yes, if you want to take your next.
Yeah.
The next
all right.
You
We have really come a long ways on Cabin 7. There has been a lot of workers and I'm very volunteers, very grateful for them, that's come up and helped. McNichols, you've got Tanisha Score, you've got Kurt, Brent's helped out a lot. We've got the ranch caretakers that have helped and assist. So we've really been putting a lot together on this. This weekend it's looking really good. But when we do have people volunteer, we do have to have it pre-approved. So if you want to volunteer, please give me a call, and we'll let you come in and help and But we definitely need to have pre-approvals, make sure that, you know, we've got everything worked right. So anybody's welcome to come and help.
We'd love to have
Brad,
you all.
Brad, too, and Scott. Brad and Scott. Sorry, I'm trying to go over real fast. So Brad and Scott's helped, my mom and Karen's helped. We've had a lot of people that stepped up. We're really appreciative. The Hunts, they helped do some cement, the cement boards. So, yeah, we're very grateful.
We have a family reunion or something, or a group that's coming up, and we can always get you a service project or something that you can spend a few hours on, or a little as much as you want on, to help get things done. But we do want to plan it beforehand, and we want to identify so that we know how many hours we're actually spending on a particular project. And so that's part of identifying what we need to do and what we're going to have to do, and afterwards, who participated and how much of the time was spent.
I just want to tell Kathy, when you put the call out on the radio last week to help to move something, we came up and we missed you.
I appreciate it.
We looked through the window, and what's going on in there is just absolutely remarkable.
Thank you. Thank you. It is pretty exciting.
That's great. You want to invite people?
You're welcome to go out there. The inside doesn't look, I mean, it's a mess because we're still moving stuff around, but you're welcome to go through it if you'd like. We're going to be going back up there after the meeting.
Do you need help after the meeting?
Scott, where are we at on some of that stuff? You were doing trim still, right? We're finishing up the trim. Finishing up shutters. The shutters have really, really added a lot to it.
Walk up to the number 7, go to your left, and look at the building on that side. It's got all the shutters up. It's just really neat design. But you see a big window, a little window. I wish they were on the other side, but do take time to walk around looking at
it. It does. It really, really
adds a lot. Can we move those around to the other side?
Yes, we'll work on that. Now we need to read the resolver.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's turn some time over to John to talk about roads and where we're at.
Trying to get up, but I guess I'll just stay still. Okay, as you know, we've had a harsh winter here, and we had a lot of road damage, although in some places I'm surprised it isn't worse than it is. I finally got a little road work done on the Meadow Canyon up through Broad Hollow. We got it a little late this year. It was nice if we could have got in a little earlier while the road was damp. But Larry Clarkson was so gracious enough to help Rachel and with some of the grading there and doing a little training with her as well. So it's looking pretty good. The problem is we were a little late and the ground got really hard, and graders just don't touch that hard ground. There is a sweet spot in there after rain that you need to be there. We missed it because everybody was busy. But we got it up there now, and it's on those roads, and it's quite powdery. And as you can feel as you drive on it, some of those ruts underneath will grab you and pull you into the rut. So we got a lot of talcum powder. We're going to need to get a little bit of water on it. I've been talking with Brad Pierce about some road work there, and Phil Hall and I were just discussing now. I got a window here. Maybe I can get Alan up here to do some work. He's given a price. I don't have, unfortunately, as much money this year as I have had in the past to do this, and it's the year that we need the most work done because of winter. But I'm going to get and talk with Brad, and we're going to come up with a solution. And I've also talked with Phil. I'm going to get Alan feed up and see what we can do as we get on through Meadow Canyon. They're up to the back gate. We have so much public traffic going in there these days. And turkey season, it was quite muddy up here, and hunters don't care. They're macho. They're gonna take their four-wheel drive, and they're gonna tear it all to dickens.
because that's part of the problem, it seems to me. And I wish I had a little more money. Well, I only had $15,000 this year to begin with, which is considerably less than I've had last year and the year before. But I don't know. I'm waiting on a bill from Larry. We have a bid from Alan Steed to come up for $7,500, which is seems quite reasonable because we're going to spread gravel. See, I need to get some gravel on. I got 2.5 piles of gravel down here. I had Norris Church to do 1,000 yards for me before. We used a lot of that. In fact, Brad used it up on Old Burn Road. And then Brad Pierce did another 1,000 yards for me at the end of the season this last year. And I wish I had him to get a little more because I had a little money left. Instead, I bought culverts. We got a lot of culverts now. Those culverts still in your yard, Larry?
Yep.
And we got a lot of culverts, so that's a plus. I think we have a dozen of various sizes of steel culverts. I don't particularly like the plastic ones. I'm just old school. I like steel. And anyway, I'm trying to get some here before the monsoons get hit us. But I would like to have a pre-monsoon to wet the darn thing down so we can do some work. And that's the status on the roads now, except for Kodak. Kodak has got to have some work down there. But I think the Flies and the Kodak people, I think they're going to bring their equipment in, and I'm going to help them out the way I've done in the past. Because they, I like that. That's a win-win for me. If they furnish their machines and their cells, and I just give them some fuel and maybe have Rachel and Phil help a little bit, it's a win-win for me. And thanks, Podoc, for that. Now, that's about all I've got to say for roads now, but I want to bring one thing up here very quickly. We got Western Legends coming up. And there, I think it's around the 15th. You know, we had the wagon train come through last year. I'm sorry we didn't have more people here to take advantage of that. But Western Legends wagon train come through, and anybody here that's on the member of the ranch, they take them for rides. They can participate in the rides. And in some cases, they can participate in the meals. And they're going to set up down at the ponds as they did last year. And I got to say, they set up with all of those animals and all those wagons down there. And they cleaned up so well, you would never know after they left if anybody was there. So that's good. And they'll go up to the pace up there on the top about where the National Forest restrooms are. And they stage and they come down. It's a beautiful spot. You need to be here.
It was 15th or what?
11th is a Sunday, and
we'll
start on the
11th. That's the 11th? Okay. I don't have that in front of me. My memory is about that wrong.
August.
Yeah.
Does everybody know what Western Legends is? Okay, Western Legends is in Kanab. They have a festival every year that lasts 3 or 4 days, where all of the old cowboy poets and some of the movie stars from the Western, you know, from the Western heyday in the 60s and 70s all get together in Kanab. There's all kinds of events there. And as part of that, then they have a wagon train that comes down through the Deer Springs with driving cattle and livestock from here all the way into Kanab, right?
Yeah, they come in there. They make several stops. And people can buy into any part of it they want. Okay, they can ride the whole thing, and there's a fee for that. And there's a fee for 1 day,
There's all kinds of things you can do, and you get to ride on the wagons, and they have a chuck wagon out there, and their food is good, by the way. I managed to sneak in and get a free drink. But then I know food.
John's good at that. Yeah, I would suggest you look up on the internet for Western Legends. It's a whole big event that's around. What's that?
Street fair. Yeah, streets and towns and clothes off and there's.
All kinds of stuff. It's a fun event to schedule around from year to year.
They'll be here for some.
Mike,
to the end. There.
Sorry, Mike's got something here.
If any of you are interested in riding on any part of the wagon train from far north, all the way to here, all the way to Kanab, good friend of ours does the whole thing. Just get a hold of me, and I'll put you in touch with him directly.
But anyway, take advantage and come and see that. And,
can we jump down
as the
table?
As they have room, they will allow us room.
Okay, we're going to jump to G.
G, good. I didn't know I was on there for that. What do you want?
Well, I actually think that was a mix-up. I was hoping to hear from you on if you're willing to share what you've got as far as rabbit brush stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got anything to share there?
Yeah, I'll just take my turn then. While we're on the wagon, or the cattle drive down here, they don't drive livestock and cattle with that. It's primarily just a wagon ride. They have outriders that ride along there, horseback men. So if they have runaways or something, those guys are the ones that are responsible to stop the wagon train from, you know, crashing or wrecking if they can. But we do have a cattle drive down in Kanab. We take the Longhorns from the ranch every year, and we drive them right down Main Street. So there's a parade that starts at high noon, and the first thing out is the Longhorn from Deer Springs Ranch. They're driven right down Main Street and around in a big parade down on Saturday, I believe it is on a Saturday, the parade is. And the festivities and everything that's there is amazing. It's a really good time to schedule time in the cabins and come to Deer Springs, especially now. The wagon train didn't always come right through us, but with them coming right through us, I think we ought to capitalize that and make more and more, maybe even have a singing night here at the ranch that we could participate in or whatever you might mention that. But if members have desires to participate in those things, that's what we'd like to do to see, you know, make those opportunities available to experience, you know, the old West.
A friend of ours has been there, provided the music the last couple of two or three times. If you want, I'll see if he's going to do it again. He's good, and he brings in all of his gear and it's all country.
If they had noticed, I'm sure they cook for all of us and entertain us, and we just pay so much a ticket or whatever. And we just jump in on that. Probably John Harris has been.
I talk to Jeff Nichols all the time, and I've already asked for the roller team and Mrs. They want to participate in it, and Jeff's said great. They're friends of yours and Walter and our camp, so you guys are friends of mine, so you're welcome.
John, do you want us to check on that music there and let you know?
Well, I know they'll have music that you can check on. They have music there every night. Through that, every place they stop. They stop between here and town, too. And I participate going over there. They have a lot of music. They got a lot of talent in that group.
Mike, what number would people need to have in order to contact you if they want to come? An email, a phone number, or what are you suggesting?
I haven't got my phone and the information's on there, so anybody who wants to get the information, just give me your name and your phone number. I'll write it down after the meeting, and I'll text it to you.
Perfect. All right. If we open that up to them, I'm sure that I talked to them when they were first planning it, coming through here, and they were open then. I'm sure they're open to do stuff like that. FYI, a couple of times a year, we do stuff like that here where we're working cows. We have people come in to help us and do stuff, and we did a big Jeff Shovin dinner already this year and brought entertainment here. He set up and he sang songs to everybody. Every ranch member was welcome to come to the entertainment for free.
Right.
And then if you let us know, we charge how much?
$10.
$10. And then we had
free food and stuff.
If you wanted to be fed and we had enough notice, then we'll just cook more and feed any of the ranch members, owners that want to participate. And we'll probably be doing that again in the fall. So if you're interested in in getting in on that, then we'll try to put it in the notice and let everybody have a shot at it if you want. I'm over the agriculture. money is always an issue. We only have so much money for agriculture. I think that the ranch is in the best shape that I've seen it in years and years. If you look back out over through the fields and everything, there's been a lot of brush hogging that's been done to try to beat down the rabbit brush and some of the other sagebrush, the things that compete for moisture for our grasses to grow. We only have so much budget. We had Dale Clarkson kick in, so I think it was $5,000 to help extend our budget as we went up through Meadow Canyon, and we were able to brush hog all of those areas that you see that have been green and nice. It's because the rabbit brush has been knocked down and the grasses now don't have as much competition. But the problem with rabbit brush is unique, because once you attack rabbit brush, then it comes back stronger with a vengeance. It's kind of like shaving. The more you shave, the thicker your beard gets. It's kind of what happens with the rabbit brush. And so, but it's really expensive. The chemical to kill rabbit brush is about $60 a gallon, and it takes about a half a gallon an acre. And if you can imagine the hundreds of acres that we have, and you have to do kill the rabbit brush during a certain season. You have to do it after the first hard freeze, and then you have to spray it once you cut it, or it's going to grow back to kill it within 20 minutes, or it closes itself off to the herbicides and protects itself, and you can't kill the rabbit brush. It's an amazingly resistant plant. money has been an object, and so it's one of the avenues that we looked is through our cattle contractor, Doug Hunt, and he has been assigning me to do all his work, to work days and hours. We've been to Salt Lake City, met with the head conservationist. We've met in Panguitch, we've met in Cedar City. We've had three different groups come out and tour the ranch, and we've developed a plan as far as what we can do through our cattle contractor, through Doug Hunt. There's funds available for national funds available through the NRCS to improve the ground. Their main goal is to improve the land. And so we have to follow a lot of the government red tape and stuff as far as working through that to get that done. But it finally paid off. We've signed the last of the contracts now. It goes through what is known as the tree hugger division to me, where they send their guys out and they have to see if there's an arrowhead there or a turtle or a spotted owl or whatever for us to be able to have federal money come through. And it's not to the ranch. It's through Doug Hunt that this money will come. But in working with him, we can do these projects and get it funded through with federal money to the tens of thousands of dollars to get some of these projects knocked out. If you're interested, these are the projects that we've outlined and that we have approval to do. You're welcome to come up and look at the map, see the acres that we're doing, water lines, water tanks, fences. Some of these fences here are 80 years old. Anyway, they need to be replaced, and in some cases we can do some fencing. We have some monies to do some fencing. Has to be particular, but that's done. So that's a great win for the ranch, and it's exciting after 3 years to finally be able to see that fruits maybe begin to bear. But
it's approved.
It's approved. It's signed. When it goes through their resource division and they decide whether or not they have to come out and do it, that's the final stamp, and then we're able to move forward on.
And it'll be a 3-year project.
Well, we have 3 years. We have 3 years to we can do it all this year if we have the money to get the thing done. But the way it works is we have to do the work in order to get the funding. And so it's kind of rolling our budget and rolling the funding money back into itself, trying to develop a plan to work through this. And so, but we have 3 years to do all of these projects. And the commitment level is that if they approve our plan, which they have, we have to do the work. And so you know, that's these guys' job, is that's how they make their living, is they go out and they improve the land. So they expect results from to happen from the plan that they did.
So do you hire outside contractors?
We can do that. And we can do it whatever ways that we have to use. I'm hoping to talk Brent Fulmer into a little bit of his expertise, because we'd like to put a solar well up in the Half Moon. It's a well that's never been used in my... I've never seen that well used. It's just capped off and used. And as you listen to Dale and he talks about water rights, he can explain how important it is to actually use the water that you have in order to protect it, and so we don't lose the water right. So the plan we'll put in, you'll see a solar well go in there and some water troughs, and we'll be able to take care of livestock and the wildlife that are there. There was one year that we pulled an awesome buck out of the mud hole because he was just totally mired in there. Just when it does get dry and they run out of water and those holes start to dry up, then it's a real hazard for wildlife and livestock. We've lost baby calves in there several times. And so this will be a permanent water source for the ranch that will last for years and years, far beyond Doug's contract, which probably, you know, he's 82 years old this year. I doubt we'll get another contract with him as far as doing that. And but yeah, all the projects that we're able to afford now are coming through him. So we need to make sure that we're fair with him and compensation-wise, because it also shows up as income, because the money comes through Doug Hunt for us to do the project. And so he's going to have to show taxable income. And so that all hasn't been worked out exactly. But
so government grant shows the taxable income?
Yeah, they want to. He'll be given a 1099 for any money that he has, and it's tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
So there's no such thing as a free lunch, I guess.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Over in the Podunk, we have thistle everywhere. Is there any way that being eradicated?
Yeah, they do. I actually talked to them about a thistle, and the county only will spray for the invasive, what they term as the invasive thistles. If your thistle is a native thistle, the county won't spray. So we have the county come out here a couple of times a year. He's supposed to come out here.
Yeah.
And he's here spraying. And you'll see, if you see the blue dye on the thistle, then you know that he's been there. And if you have some bad areas, let us know.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's Scott's thistle or bull thistle, then we definitely can get that sprayed. And Phil and Rachel can also hook up the sprayer and spray on some areas if we get some time to the agricultural side of the thing. Historically speaking, everybody's board, there's not been many hours devoted to the agricultural side. This is a pretty serious commitment by our contractors to get these jobs done, and we're going to need a little bit more guaranteed time that we can get some help to do some things in order to capitalize on all the projects. So if we move forward on that, I just want to know I have your support.
Okay.
Brad,
yeah.
Can I ask a question on
the? You've
been doing a lot of fencing. Through with fencing
to
contain
the
holes.
There's no such thing as through with fencing.
Can we do something about having a say as top members to stop blocking the access to some of our best trails with your fences? Can we at least be notified that you're going to do that there, so that we can be able to keep these places on the Lower Ranch and stop the whole area there? We run into fence everywhere we go anymore. And we haven't had any option, as far as I know, to put gates where we need them to get through that. I understand your need for fences, but the primary purpose of our ranch is for recreation and environmental fun. So we got to work something out here so we don't get blocked off from some of our best.
I talked to your husband about that before, and I know the fence that you're talking about is in this wash as it runs back up here.
Yes,
and
but then we went down the other way. We're blocked all the way into that canyon on that area with fences down, and we can't get in as through anywhere through here. So
we're every place else except for that place has a gate.
No.
Well, we'll have to go together and look.
Well, we can look at that. But all I'm saying is, if we'd like some input as individual lot owners to not block it.
We'd love that and some help too.
Well, that'd be great.
So and we can build gates. Gates can be built. And so, you know, it shouldn't be an issue. The problem is that the ranch hasn't had fences, and you can't manage the ranch property if you can't control the livestock movement. And and right now, up until the last 3 years, there's been a cow could go anywhere it wants, anytime it wants, and now they we're starting to be able to put them into their management areas, and that's the key to management for the land itself also, is to be able to rotate the amount of pressure that's on there, instead of have the cow decide how much pressure he wants to be there before he moves off to another place.
You've got to go through that
cattle guard.
Cattle guard, you want to go around, you want to get back in. That's dangerous. You can open it and close it and take an animal through it, even to walk through it right now.
Because of erosion or what?
Two reasons. The erosion, and it's cobbled together, and you can't get off the hill and open it up. So it's really, really a bad place, dangerous place to walk through. So the erosion is significant, and the gate is set.
The erosion is a huge problem out here, and their engineer is going to come out again, and he's going to give us some advice. If you guys have time, walk 200 yards over behind that thing and check out what the erosion problems that we have to deal with here. And so that's part of it. It's all part of the plan. Nobody wants to block off trails that people are using. If we can put gates in, we can put gates in.
Just have to know where we want them, so we need to work together.
Well, I'm not going to build a gate for everybody's trail, or whatever, but as long as you can go to a gate and put a gate through, you know, the gate cost $200, that last gate that you put in for me over there, Lyndon, was the labor on it alone was $200 to install a gate over here on the very last gate that Lyndon put in for me, so there's an expense involved in that, so it's kind of a...
Yeah, pretty safe.
3 years ago, we talked to, it was during a board meeting, that the Podunk fence that's on 13 and is adjacent to the BLM has been, it's been trampled by all of the cattle. I met with Ray Brinkerhoff last weekend, and he said that's how all the cattle are coming in. We're still waiting from 3 years ago that it was approved that was going to be fixed by the hunt, and we're still waiting.
That wasn't approved by the hunts that we were going to fix it. And when you say hunt, you mean dog hunt?
It was during the board meeting.
It was approved by the board. I remember we had discussed that, and that they were going to go ahead and do that.
We want to fix whatever fences we can afford to fix. it's all about time, labor, and money.
Yeah, but Brad, you and I had a conversation last year that didn't end well, because you told me that, I said, so are you telling me that you have more rights than the lot owner? And you said, well, yeah, pretty much. That's what you said to me. Because I had 11 of your longhorns on this little stretch of grass that I have for my grandkids.
I see. So maybe we can just publicly clarify what the requirements are, and so everybody knows, and so this doesn't come up over and over again, because I obviously explained it poorly before, if we're still talking about the same thing. But the cattle have a right to graze on Deer Springs Ranch. If you do not want the cattle on your own lot, then it's your requirement to fence them off of your lot. And that's what the rules are. we don't want the cattle destroying your lot. Doug doesn't want the cattle destroying your lot. I'm not against coming, helping, advising, telling you what fences, showing you what I did to keep them off of my lot. I don't want them on there, on my lot, and so I fenced my lot off so they couldn't get on there. But the cattle have a right to graze within our boundaries, except for where you fence them off. On private property, you have every right to keep the cows out of there. If you want them out of there, it's your responsibility to fence out.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do over on 144, and I'm going to go with that.
So, I mean,
no.
And also,
you have every right to fence.
Who determines what takes precedence on the fencing? Over there on 13, the fence has been destroyed. 3 years ago, it was supposed to get repaired. Still hasn't. But yet, Phil and Rachel have been fixing down in the wash, fixing the all over. Who determines what takes precedence on fixing the fences?
Because
money is an issue.
Sure.
So, eventually, somebody's got to go fix that fence on 13.
Sure. I've only had two days of fencing done from any ranch manager. Usually every time that there's any fencing done, I'm right there. But I'm grateful for the 2 days that you guys went and you did fencing.
Let me clarify one thing just for edification. The contract that we have with the Hunts requires the Hunts to keep, maintain, and repair the fences. So ranch managers, if they have extra time, can be used to do some of that as a help. But the contract says that you guys are going to take care of it. But if you have issues with fencing issues and those kind of things, rather than discussing it here where we can't really make a decision, let's get together. If there's an issue, and let's talk about specifics so that we can identify specific items and figure out the best way to resolve it. I'm all about resolving problems, and I understand that there are difficulties that are going to arise in conflicts between animals and humans. The law in Utah is if you don't want cattle on your property, you have to fence them out rather than the other way around. So just that's the framework we use. Anybody that has issues with livestock or fencing issues, just send me an email, send Brad an email. Let's talk about it and resolve it, but right now it's not necessarily the time that we're going to be able to address and make any decisions that are meaningful or long-lasting. Is that okay? I don't want to cut anybody off, but I think we need to move on.
Can I make one suggestion?
Yeah.
This young lady comment. She's asking for something on a pathway. I would just say, why don't we have it where if the hunter are going to put some thinking in, those are proposed in this forum, and then we approve or we bring up any of our concerns. If it's a new thing that's been established, then you leave it. But if it's, you know, new, then those I would say.
There's only been one new fence that we've ever put in, and that's up in that in the above Half Moon Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you'll look, you'll see a new fence that goes along there. Every other fence that we've done is just simply...
Yeah, the number of fences...
It just seemed like her concern this is the pathway that I go on, and now I've got fencing away.
Sure.
So,
the number of new fences in the last 40 years you can count on one hand, if not more than two fingers. But it is important that we play together and figure out ways to resolve it. I can't think of a single fence that we can't figure out. If it's really something that's commonly used, we can make sure there's a gate there that can be opened. We want to make sure that the gates are as safe as possible. But we're just gonna have to figure that out.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Pursuant to a conversation Brad and I had last board meeting, and you just hit on it perfectly. This wash right over the edge here was back to the road and all the way down to the creek, really. Brad asked me, it's closed off now. And people hike it. We've seen hikes. In fact, we've ridden it for years. And now Lyndon put in a terrific fence there. Brad asked me to talk to Lyndon and find out what we could do, and I did. And Lyndon told me at the beginning of this meeting that he could gate that off effectively for $100. So anybody wanted to hike it or ride it, that access would be open. So who bears the expense for the $100? Because Lyndon is ready to do it.
Good question, though. I don't have an answer for you right now. Because bottom line is, I would think, this is just my off the top of my head thought, is since that gate would be for us as members to use and provide access, that would be the ranch's responsibility to pay the $100 to put in the gate. The contract says that the Hunts will maintain the fences. That putting in a new gate isn't part of maintaining the fences. So that would, I think, in my opinion, that would be part of the SROA's obligation to do.
We're going to have to wait another month. If we pay in $100, we're going to pay us $100 later if you approve it. Then we can get it done and everybody can use it. No.
Do you have any issue with the gate going down there?
I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about it.
You've looked at it and it's okay. I don't.
Go ahead and do it, and then we'll talk about it. If we approve it, we'll reimburse. If we don't approve it for whatever reason, then you're out a whole $100.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes?
We were really excited to see that you provided cow allotments on the ranch according to the website and the brochures.
That's not true.
And horseback riding. Is that
true? No.
Not currently, Mom.
Things have changed to the point where in order to provide the income that we need to maintain the ranch and those kind of things, the ranch has been, the cattle grazing rights have been leased to the Hunts. They pay every year a pretty good chunk of our assessment. And because we allow them, then we can't have other people having their livestock competing for the same feed and management and those kind of things. So livestock is not, we've talked about reinstating or looking at and talking about horseback riding. The problem is in getting a concessionaire out here that would do it on a regular enough basis. We're always open to things, but there are a couple services in Kanab that provide that, but we don't currently provide. You can come and bring your horse and ride them while you're here, but as far as a string of horses and providing horseback riding, that's not currently in our program.
You might be getting confused between Deer Springs Ranch and Deer Springs Ranch Board. DSROA Owners Association.
Under the original bylaws and those kind of things that provide for that, that's been changed because of as the ranch has evolved. Any other questions, real quick? Candy.
I had a question earlier, so I'm going to back it up for a second.
Okay.
As a member of Deer Springs Ranch, John, this question is for you. Could you clarify the gravel pit and what my rights are in terms of I can just have a dump truck and go over there and pick up anything that I want? I'd like clarification. I think members tell me that someone told them just pull a dump truck over there and use a whatever, pick it up and it's mine, it's free because that's part of my membership. I'd like clarification for everybody here, as well as having it in a minute, what is available to
before
me as a member?
Before you respond, John, it is in the rules, spelled out in black and white.
Well, I'd like to have it again stated, simply if I could, because this came up just this last weekend.
Okay. John, you want to address it in the whole form?
I'm familiar with the on it, and as many are here, we've had discussions on this. But okay, as I said earlier, I have two piles of gravel there that the Deer Springs Ranch has paid to have those classified, and those are strictly for ranch roads. Now, I have, in order to help somebody out, approved a few yards to that, and I'd like to be able to help somebody if it's only a few yards. But if anybody wants gravel, they cannot touch that. They have to have permission to do that, and they won't get it.
As far as your crushed gravel.
My crushed gravel. But as far as the other gravel, there, the state owns the mineral rights. We don't. Which means they have to go down to BLM and get a permit. And they will be asked, they will be charged a fee from the BLM. And I think it's about 50 cents a yard. It's not a lot of money. But they'll have to have that in order to take it out of there. And they will have to supply their own equipment to do so or hire a contractor to do it. And they may rent our grizzly to classify it so they don't have to bring all those things out because they're bulky, you know. And we would rent that for $50 a day. But in addition to that, you see a lot of gravel that's piled up around there. And you see the gravel pits been torn up pretty good from people classifying and taking gravel. We, as Deer Springs Ranch, have to, at some point,
at some point, we have to dress that up and fix it at our expense. And we got all this overburden that's been moved there in these piles of gravel that we have to address. Now, those are free if you guys want some of that big boulders out there.
It's not free.
That's not free.
No, there's a charge right in the rules of pit run. There's two different. There's several different kinds of gravel. If you go get rocks off the ground that are just coming off the hillside, that's called pit run. It means it's just as is. There's a fee for that. I can't remember what it is. Look it up in the rules, but there's a fee there, and you have to pay the BLM. If you want crushed gravel, you have to talk to John, and if he's generous, then he can sell you some. But in my opinion, because of different difficulties, we have to spend a lot of money to have the crushed gravel crushed and processed, and we are always running short. I don't think it just doesn't make sense for us to sell off what costs us money and run in the hole. So for the most part, in order to address your question, if they come get pit run, meaning they bring their own equipment and they load it up and it's just the normal rocks off the ground, there's a small fee, and they can do that. There's an amount that they can take spelled out in the rules. If they want crushed gravel, they have to talk to John, and more likely the answer is going to be no. But there's no such thing as free gravel from the gravel pit. It does not belong. First of all, the BLM has to be paid if you remove anything. Second of all, the ranch has to be paid so that we have money later on to cover up or to readdress or to take down the sides of the gravel pit. So just want to make that clear. That might sound harsh, but we've had a lot of discussions about, hey, I'm entitled to this free or that free. It's kind of like going to the city attorney in your city and say, you work for me because you're the city attorney and I belong in the city. It doesn't work that way. Association property. Well, I guess we can put up a sign. It's in the rules and has been discussed multiple times.
I was best informed on that part myself because it's just in our way for the most part. And I had to pay Norris Church a lot of money to move all that overburden from the one contractor that was out here did a huge, huge pile, and the overburden was left there. And I had to pay, when I say I, I'm speaking for the ranch. The Deer Springs Ranch had to pay him a lot of money to move that, and we widened the road. That road is wide because it's got all those boulders under it. And so I had to pay to get rid of it. Okay? Now, for those two piles, of course, one is not complete now. We've used a lot of it off of, but it cost the ranch over $8,000. Okay? And I've had people to argue with me, well, you know, we pay our fees. And, yeah, you do. You pay your fees, and you take it free. But Joe McGee over here has lot blah, blah, blah. He's paying the same fees because he's not using it, but he's paying for me to give you gravel if I give it to you. And that's not fair. And and it isn't that easy sometimes to get somebody out there to come and classify that. So that's why I can't do it. But having said that, I don't mind helping somebody with a small amount because I don't want to be hard on it, but I have to be pretty darn firm on it because some people will want 100 or more yards. Go ahead.
Keep it simple. 10 miles down the road is a gravel pit. Here's a man who's probably going to have a dump truck here and load her back over somewhere. So anybody who needs substantial gravel, it's a piece of cake.
There's lots of sources, and if you need something, you should contact somebody that's a provider of that and go do it. We can't police every inch. I can't say that other members haven't backed up a pickup truck and taken gravel out of there, but when they do, they're taking money from you because ultimately the assessments will have to cover whatever the repair cost is later on. So just want to be clear. If anybody asks you, then now you know. Now you know.
Okay, all right. Does that answer your question?
Perfect. Okay. Joe, real quick on fire extinguishers and
smoke detectors. Okay, last year Rachel brought it to my attention that some of the smoke detectors were defective, so she started buying some new ones and replacing them. Then we found out there's more going bad, so the question I got is, I bought 14 of them up. Have you been able to get them installed?
One is on all three levels, like you said. One is having that cabin, and two is done, and
done and then we so we just like to wait for a switch.
So basically we've got, I bought 14 of them here. They've been installed and they're almost all done. I got them at Home Depot or Lowe's? Costco, I got them at Costco. They have a 10-year warranty on them. So if they go bad, I give them the receipt to Mariah. So one of them goes bad, what you probably should do is get a magic marker and put a date on it. That way you get a warranty from Costco. Evidently a 10-year battery, yeah. It says battery not replaceable, 10-year warranty. Written right on the package. Yeah.
Do you want to hit 7 up while we're talking about it? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's it. Real quick, one last thing before we... And what we're going to do is I'll hit this last thing, which is the deadlines before the DSROA annual meeting. We'll turn the time over to Dale when he's into his, and we're going to be setting up some lunch somewhere. And so after the meeting, you're welcome to have a sandwich. It's not anything fancy, but we've got some sandwiches and potato salad and other things. So give me just 1 minute. And so as far as this is more for the board than for you guys, but in June, in order to prepare for the annual meeting, we needed to request items by mailing, which has been done. The newspaper articles have been submitted, but they will go out with the billing, so we'll have a newsletter. And then the board needs to decide on a firm date for the annual meeting. I just want you to know that any of the Saturdays in September, I will not be there, and I'm assuming, Brad, you will be, so you can conduct that meeting. Does that work? Okay. In July, then we needed to do a member mailing, which we're working on. We'll go out with a newsletter. Nomination forms have been out, and I know that nominations are coming in. If you guys have somebody that you want to serve on the board, there are 3 positions available open this election. And so make sure you get your nominations in. They can be sent in by mail, or it's easier to just call Mariah on the phone and take care of it that way, or send an email. But however you want to. And then we'll send out toward the end of July, again, the ballots and the idea of those things that are going to be voted on. By the end of July, the third week in July, we'll have to have the nominations back, and she'll send out notices to those that have been nominated to see if they accept the nomination or willing to move forward. And then in August, then we'll send out the official ballots. They have to be back by, assuming the meeting is as scheduled as September 14th, they'll have to be received back in the mail by September 13th or delivered in person. And then for the DSROA annual meeting, we're planning on beginning at 10 a.m. with a meet and greet so we can meet candidates. It'll be informal discussion until 11. The formal meeting will begin. We'll submit ballots. We'll have lunch and entertainment that Mariah is working on. The meeting should go from 11 till about 2, including the auction that we'll have to auction off items to fund our next annual meeting. The funds for the luncheon and everything that happens at the annual meeting comes from the auction the year before. Any members that have items that they'd like to auction off to help raise money, they're welcome to contact Mariah and make arrangements. We'll take about anything. John over here can sell about anything that comes up. So we'd be happy to have that. In the past, we'll have to set things up. In the past, and Candy's helped with the coordinating the event. We've had Mike Ewing do the music in recent years. He's done a great job. Any thoughts on whether we want to continue that or have somebody different from the members? Nope. Okay.
There are a couple other options, so I can help you.
Let's look at those. In the past, then the Hunts have done the cooking. I don't know if you guys are willing to do that again. No pressure. Well, it's just something we need to discuss and decide. So let us know in the next few weeks if you can, or if you say, been there and done that, then we'll figure it out. We'll have the ranch caretaker set up tables and chairs and those kind of things. And then then Candy's kind of coordinated also the decorations and stuff. Are you willing to do that again this year? All right.
I'd like to hunt. I've
been there, done that.
Well, I'm kind of a minimalist. I think that we keep it simple because the point is to come get together as members and vote, but also have a little bit of fun.
I'm hamburgers this year.
I'm perfectly fine with that. If it's grilled cheese sandwiches or whatever, then the point is it's nice to have a lunch, but that's the point of the meeting is to get together and have some fun without a lot of pressure, without a lot of people putting in a ton of work that they later have to worry about or resent. Okay?
Barry, we're going to hopefully have Cabin 7 done, that we can do an open house that day also.
Oh, great idea.
So just wanted you to be aware.
Bill,
what's the deadline for the nomination?
Monday.
Monday.
July 15th, Monday.
July 15th, Monday.
Did they send it out?
Thank you.
Yes, it should have gone out.
Now, Mariah sent an email out.
We don't get to see who's been nominated until they've been contacted to see if they accepted the nomination. Because we don't want to put somebody on the spot, gets nominated, and they say, I have no interest in this, and every member's pounding on the site.
Do you know that anybody's accepted so far?
No, I don't.
We haven't got an email for the last 2 weeks, here, so I don't know.
The request for confirmation will go after the deadline of nominations. We wait until all the nominations are in and then ask if they'll. Okay. Any questions on that?
You can just nominate yourself, right?
You can nominate yourself. If you're a member in good standing, they have to have your assessments up to date to vote or to be nominated. But other than that, we welcome anybody that's willing to put your hand in the hole. You may come back with a bloody stub. You may come back with a piece of chocolate cake.
If anybody runs the board, that needs to be clarified.
It's all in the rules. You need to be a member for a year. Well, you need to be a member in good standing for a year, meaning you have to be have been part of the ranch, and you have to have your assessments paid. Okay? If you have any specific questions on whether you qualify or not, you can call me or ask me or Mariah. All right. If there's not anything further, then we'll turn the talk over. We'll turn the talk over or something. And if you'll forgive me for just a second, I'm going to go give them direction on where food is. Come up here by where we can hear you. Or move this phone down to where he's at.
Talk really loud. As all of you know, we've got a great property here.
Yeah.
It needs to be perhaps used a little differently. We need to be smarter as we move along, and hopefully we can do that. I'm not going to talk about all these stacks of paper. I'm spending money to... I think water is one of our greatest assets. And yet I think we've been totally neglected for years. I think most of you people have no idea what water rights we have, where they are, or what you could do with them, or why we should even keep them. So I think that all of us that are smarting up a little bit as to our water rights. This water out here was all adjudicated in 1976. They studied, the state engineer studied this area, compared all this information on all the water rights. There's 30 or so in here of Deer Springs, and I'll have a handout so all of you can do your homework. Here are the original maps. These maps are all done by the state engineer, showing every wet spot on the ranch and who owns them and what the story is. So these are extremely valuable units. You can take from the map and correlate it with copies of these pages that tells when it was filed on
Is it legitimate? How can it be used? What could happen to it? So I've prepared that these. Don't anybody take these.
Take your brain.
And I'm not spending, Barry said, less than 20 minutes. I guarantee you we're headed in that direction.
Dale, will you make, or can we have copies of this for the Ranch Association?
What, these?
Yes.
As far as I know. No, these, okay. You can't have mine, but you can...
And have copies.
Have copies. After you go through these papers, you may decide you don't need copies. I mean, this is backup material and very valuable. Our water's been worked on several different ways and different times. Nelson, I'd like for you to hand out one of these, at least to the board members. If you hand it to the board members, then we can put them on the table. And if some of the rest of you want copies, you may do so. I wanted the board members to each have a copy of this, and I made one for the office, Phil, so that the ranch could have copies.
Feel free to move into the shade. We don't want you to be miserable, and we don't want you to close.
Yeah. Well, I'm not covering these. Read them. You read them. See what questions you have and where we go from there on the water rights. Here's another descriptive thing. If John would pass it down through there. And you need to pass them out individually. Here's another letter. This is in 06. No, excuse me, 08. Here's things that happen on the ranch. Water, ponds, ditches, some of those things.
Are these different? Anybody who wants
here's a letter, 2009, that went to the president of BSROA when John Southwick was president. Here's a letter that summarizes some of these things with the same engineer. Some people say, can our water rights be taken away from it? There are certain ways that they can, we could lose water rights. And I'll mention some that we're going to maybe lose this summer. We had a conflict with the neighbor down the Johnson West Ranch. Here's the story as to what happened on it. And Dirk Clayson did a nice job. So you should get a copy of that. Daniel Clark and I met with the state engineer for a couple of hours, went over all of our history and where we are and what's happening. So this will tell you what we talked about with the state engineer's office. After we met with the state engineer, a letter was given to the board of directors as to his recommendations and our recommendations. So you can use this. And
is the board getting a copy of each of these?
That's every one of them is going all the way down the board, so we all have copies.
So after those, there's also a question. How many wells do we have on the ranch? Who owns them? What's the story behind them? And the ponds? And some water rights. So here's this is only a partial list for ponds and wells and water rights. On some of the ponds that we have, some additional work needs to be done. Let me, who knows where the hidden reservoir is? About three or four? Yeah. There's another hidden reservoir that I think only I and Larry know about. Here's the name of some of our ponds and some of the things that needs to happen to respect them as decent water sources. this stack of papers has to do with well logs. What's under the ground? What have well drillers given us by way of well logs? So here are well logs on the different areas, different logs. So it could save a lot of problems to answer your questions. As we're talking about water, and this is the sheet all of you want on water rights. The fish pond area, the people area, are parts of our water use and water concern. When we fenced the fish pond area, I personally paid $1,500 for Taylor to buy material to fence the fish pond area so it'd be cattle free. I'm personally quite upset right now. I was up there last Friday and there were 65 head of cattle asleep around the fish pond and no child or family would go in to fish or to swim. And we had complaints on that last year, and so whatever the board needs to do or whatever, I think that area has got to be changed and respected. But this will tell you where the water rights are and where you kind of go from there. On I have probably 100 file folders that I've maintained over the years on water here at the ranch. In answer to Phil's thing, they're all there and they're copyable. Don't object to any of you coming and asking questions and finding out what needs to happen on preserving and utilizing our water rights. Most of them have been running down the river. One spring up here has been running down the side of the road, unused. A lot of our water has not been used as it should be. And I think it's time that we as members claim one of our greatest assets. And it should be a big part of what you paid and what you will enjoy in the future. And these three sheets here will give you kind of a guide as to what you can ask for. I'll be happy to answer questions and work with any of you on these things. But I think that we cannot continue to ignore our water rights. On page 3, there's a water right on there's water rights here in my name, and that's fine. I've had others that I've given to the ranch. I'm not going to drink the water out of number 162. It's in my name. I have no hesitation to deed it over. And if one of us doesn't do something on it, lot 1659 needs to be proved up on by January of next year. So if we all wait till snow's on, we're not going to be able to meet that proof date. Another one in slide is has a proof date deadline of August. Well, the one on Half Moon that Brad mentioned a minute ago. Its proof date is August 20, 2019. That's a month away. There's things we can do.
Question on the half moon. And under ownership, it says you are the owner.
That's right. Yep. Do you remember all the silly protests that went in the state engineers to try and block that water right being issued?
I don't recall the politics.
Are you saying that you're willing to contribute those water rights to the ranch?
Some of them.
How about the half moon reservoir?
I think people need to talk about them and see what we can do together to develop.
Now, my understanding. Go ahead.
On the half moon reservoir, one. I can't even think about it. Is this how you win this? August or right here? This is when the right runs out if you have it.
That's on that water right. There are three different water rights on the half moon well. So if you look on yours, there's some to begin with that really has practically no value whatsoever. On the by 164 and the good one that we got.
Where are you looking at 164?
On the third page.
These are water rights only for cows and horses and dry washes. So all those CHs, we bought from Finley, they total only 14 acre feet. So they were just a teacup full of water. Any of those CHs are combined, not individually, but combined, the ranch should only enjoy having 14 acre feet. And part of those acre feet, Barry, have already been given to lot owners. I think in the state engineer's office, there's only 3 acre feet still under that CH.
Let me ask you this. On the ones that are expiring that you are considering or which consider contributing, I assume those can be extended with a request and an explanation. Is that correct?
So you and I know.
So that lady doesn't necessarily take an August, so we need to get working on it.
Yeah. So I'm trying to say there's two or three ways that water rights can be a state of marvelous rules and regulations to help us if we don't go to sleep and do silly things.
Bill, you had a question.
Yeah, it just so happens, and that's why I'm a little confused. I didn't know who owned the Half Moon Well because I've just taken it for granted. We've always talked about it, and I know there's been some politics and this and that, and you're saying part of it's owned by Clarkson and part of it's owned by other people? The water right in there?
Basic.
The reason I'm asking is I actually have a well driller, fixer-upper guy scheduled to come within 1 to 2 weeks. I had scheduled him to specifically do the Half Moon Well, look at it, draw out the old pump pipes, and put it in full repair, and then I heard what you said today, and so it's like you and I haven't been talking enough, but heck, if I don't own this, if we don't own this as a ranch at all, then I don't know that I should be expending those kinds of funds on that. Well, are you willing to give us the ownership of those water rights in the Half Moon Well? I need to know that before I spend our ranch money on.
Folks, I think this points up, and the reason we're here today, and the reason I've spent a lot of money researching and getting this thing finalized where we are. And so we haven't got 3 or 4 people running around confused as to what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're going to do it, and if that happens. The old well that we no longer use at that point was part of this cows and horse deal, lot number one. Where's the one on, you should have one there on Half Moon.
Right at the fourth one down, 111.
Okay. there's only three that were, that had 14 acre feet in it at one time with all these others.
Okay.
But those have been given away to other people. The DSROA, I think, have no records as to who have received deeds to water because we don't keep our records. So anyway, Phil, that one up there, 111, there's 3 acre feet in that that is identified in this book for cows and horses.
But you've also,
what about the one we
got on page 2, about center from the bottom, a half moon well that says 20 acre feet that's certified?
Okay, because I, you know, that's my business.
Okay.
It was not being used. It really had no water right in it. And so I got a young man like Larry Clarkson and Barry Clarkson, and we changed sprinklers out there, planted it alfalfa, proved that there could be a crop. And we proved up on 7 acres. And the 7 acres multiplied by the duty to water in the state of Utah by 4 gives us 28 acre feet of water. For thousands and thousands of dollars. That all happened that particular summer.
And what I was just, and I don't want to interrupt you, but Phil, I think your question is, does the ranch own water right in the Half Moon Well? And the answer is yes. Does Clarkson also own water right in the same hole? Yes.
So this ownership under the 28 acre feet is DSROA.
You bet.
Okay. And so the part.
Are you will back to Gary's question to you? Are you willing to give those Half Moon rights to the ranch? Because he needs to know.
What right?
You have 1.73 acre feet.
No. Those are already in the ranch. I have nothing to do with
that. The one on the last sheet.
There's two that are owned by DSROA, and then there's a third one that's owned by him. And you're right. My question more for the flag standing, but this is whether he's willing to, or if you've decided whether you're willing to contribute those to the ranch, or if you want to. I mean, we can develop and do what you're talking about, what Brad's talking about with the water rights we already have. The question is do we have another 1.75 acre feet to work with?
I think that we need to talk about it and find out why I even filed on that and how it should be used to serve members of the ranch.
Are you talking about your 1.73 or our 20?
No. There's no 20 on this. 1.73 acre feet involved in a water right that I have.
Well, and I think that that's a perfect discussion that we as a water committee should have and discuss and find out why it was filed and whether it's something you're willing to contribute and whether we can add that and work through it and make it a beneficial use all the way around. Whether you contribute it or whether, I think we need to move forward with some development and with the water rights we have as well as others and ask those questions. Making us aware of where things are at is helpful, but it's just the first step. We don't obviously have time today to resolve that.
And one point of clarification, isn't the difference between cow water and people water? Isn't this 28 acre feet that DSROA owns labeled as cow water?
No. No, that's 28 acre feet. No, it's irrigation water.
Well, that's what I'm...
Yeah, it's irrigation water.
So that's the difference.
The first one in the book here would say cows and horses.
Right.
The second big one,
28 acre feet is still... I said cow, but it's agriculture, irrigation. And then the one that's actually in your name, that is culinary people water.
No. It hasn't been proved up on for anything.
But the potential...
The potential has got to be proven in the proof.
Once you put it to benefit...
So it could be proved up on by a garden. It could be proved up on by a pipeline.
The 28 acre feet we proved up on by planting and changing sprinklers.
Yes. Yes.
But it's still agriculture.
Yes.
But the purpose of use can be changed.
Yes, that can be changed.
Yeah.
The amount of water. Just for a water rights 101, anybody that's interested. There's underground rights where you have to drill a well to get water. There's surface rights. The ranch currently, the state's not giving any more surface rights away. You can't pull any water out of a spring or a drainage or a water on top of the ground unless you already have a permit. There are still filings allowed for drilling a well and getting water under the ground. The state can change their mind at any point in time. These are water rights that already exist and have, for the most part, existed for a long time. It's up to us to decide how much we develop them or what we use them for or whether we move them around. For example, there are water rights that exist in places where there's absolutely no water. That doesn't make sense to common sense, but you have water rights where there once was water, but there's no longer water there. It doesn't make sense to leave a water right there rather than move it to where the water actually runs from. So that's one of the things we need to take a look at. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's exactly why, and you may know, I plan to spend $5,000 of that $50,000 to work on the water rights. It's a vital part of the ranch, and all you members should know about it. You should know how to use it and where we're going. And it does say those that are certified are pretty well finalized. The state has acknowledged those, and so a lot of money has gone into getting white rights certified. And there are others that we need to get certified, so we should be awake and aware.
Got a comment or a question here?
I'm wondering, can you tell you, is it use it or lose it, so we can lose these water rights if they're not developed?
Well, if they're certified, then that means they've already been proved to be used, and so there's no use it or lose it. The ones that have not been proved up on in the period of time allowed, yes. If they're not proved up on, then they go away. Any questions on water? I didn't mean to cut you off. Or
nope,
you have,
that's all.
Any questions on water rights or how they might...
Well, like
nothing, no restrictions there. If you're catching it in the barrel off your roof, then that has nothing to do with water rights. Once it pours onto the ground, that's a different story.
Because I heard it about 7 years ago, you could only catch 3,000 gallons of rainwater and in possession. I think they changed that about 5 years ago to 10,000.
Just 10,000 gallons.
Yeah, you can now catch 10,000 gallons on property. You can't keep more than that or without being in violation.
Where are you looking?
Just make sure your tank is no bigger than 10,000 because it changes daily.
Diligence. When the state engineers came in to adjudicate this area, they identified cows, they used that as diligence back to 1864. So in this book, all of those diligent rights, their origination date is 1864. So good question. Some of these are new rights that only have been in place for 10 years or 20 years, but some of them were carry a date of 1917, 1980. You know, they're all kind of dates, and it's all in here. And Phil, in addition to that, here's a book that now breaks down all of those into information. And I have in the office a file folder on all 85 of these water rights. In that file folder are lab tests or well drilling logs or anything that I can find in two or three file drawers, so that if somebody comes along and they said, what is the background on Brent Fulmer's? There's a file folder there, and information is available for us to use. And so, in addition to the stuff that I've sent out, this book, you copy pages out of it, whatever, and there's a series of maps that could be used, or pages out of this book. So that we're looking at a couple $1 million worth of water. And it gripes me that we ignore it year after year after year and don't follow along. So please.
I, for one, want to thank Dale.
As part of the Water Committee, if you want to, you know, I know that you have ideas about beneficial use for the ranch, you know, and an example I'll use is your water right that you applied for on Half Moon Well, and you wanted a 1.73 acre feet to go up to Marcus Hamilton's, and I'm assuming Heiko's. Anyway, I don't know anybody who's not in favor of getting beneficial use for the water that we have. But my question is this one, and I hope this isn't a sore spot. The Meadow Canyon Springs project that we, you know, partially installed. You know, you've got your pipeline in there, but the spring box and all that other stuff hasn't been followed up on. Where are you at on that? The Meadow Canyon Spring development?
I'm mainly kind of waiting for members to quit fighting over it. I'm not going to put up some more contention. Some of the members have cost 7 or 8 years on the most beneficial water project on the state that we got 131 acre feet of water. I got that. I followed through. The state engineer lost it. We got it reinstated. We've got a marvelous water right, and yet we've had 3 or 4 members that have messed it up now for 8 years. And when we get to a point that we either have the strength in a water committee or in our board to be ready to move forward, I've got a lot of money tied up in that has been blocked by half a dozen individuals.
Well, as far as I know, most of those people are now either gone or they're not. There's no longer any contention over that development. And so I'm excited. I would be excited to see you follow up with that.
I would too.
But I don't know of anybody who's openly fighting you now on the Meadow Canyon Spring. Is there somebody? I can send some boys out to take care of you.
You got witnesses.
Yes, there's still resistance as to how that whole program should come together, and it should be discussed and agreed upon in a committee with input from whoever wants to put input in. It's very simple. You know, the water's there and it's not going to go away. And we need to do certain things to make it come together.
And
so
we'd love to finish it up.
I'd love to finish it up and get it all in writing and in the pipeline. And so all these people can get a drink and do the other things. But yeah, there's lots of decisions still to make on that. And that's why I decided to quit fighting whoever wants to fight. And I can tell them, or you can tell them, what the future of that beautiful spring area holds. I don't know if all of you have seen it. Out behind the Finley Cabin, there's an area fenced off to protect those springs from cows getting into them. In fact, there's a couple more up north of there that was fenced that will never be used for culinary water. But that's where one of the hunt cattle died. And so there's a little fenced area to the north was for cattle.
To keep them out.
The bigger fenced area is for people. We did Deer Springs Ranch for people. And we're losing that sometimes. Deer Springs Ranch was done to get rid of a cattle ranch and make it a people ranch. And it's easy for some of us to forget that fact. I think that cattle and people can get along fine and complement, but some human decisions have got to be made I'll be happy to answer questions or work with you now or during the next.
So Dale, question. If the contention is gone and the problems are gone, are you willing to move forward this year to finish what Brent asked about?
I don't know.
Well, if the contention's gone and the problems are gone, what will hold you back?
The decisions have got to be made.
Well, let me just say,
I'm not sure they're going to be.
I'm not one that's contentious, but the problem's not so simple. There's involvement of private sector, ownership of the ranch, pipeline costs, how things would be built. And to date, those are the kinds of things that have not been spelled out clearly. And that's where I think water committees going to be happy to work on you. We could start on you, but in the past there were some impasses in those areas. It actually is fairly, when you mix associationship ownership and private ownership and costs and how much will be borne by Dale and how much the ranch would be indebted to participate in, it becomes significant, and it might involve assessments, heavy assessments to members to really bring this to the membership, to bring this to bear, or not. But those were problems in the past. So I just want to tell you, anything's possible. And I think we're all willing to look at it and maybe look at it anew. But it isn't a quick, simple fix.
All right. Unless there's something significant, then we're going to close this meeting and set the time for our next board meeting and eat lunch. Anybody objected to that?
And second motion.
Our next meeting would normally be, I need my phone down there to see my calendar. What's the second Saturday in August? What's that?
The second Saturday of August. 10th. Board members, any objections or problems with August 10th? It'll be our last meeting to prepare for annual meeting and everything else.
I'll be thinking about you.
I'm okay.
I know you won't.
Okay, so we'll set the meeting again. Executive session at 10 o'clock. The board meeting is 11 here at headquarters on August 10th. Ready? Break.